The question today is tithing scriptural? I'm glad you asked that question. I'd love to look at the scripture and see what it says. Now, we go back and, first of all, to answer that question, we need to know what is a tithe. Now, a tithe is a tenth part of the first fruit of the increase. We find Abraham giving tithes of his spoils for the battle of Chowdaloma to Melchizedek, the type of the Lord, king of Salem. In chapter number 14, verse number 20, he said, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." In other words, all the spoil that he had. The Bible also says about Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 22. And by the way, Abraham was a lost man in Genesis chapter 14, 20. He was not yet saved, wasn't saved to Genesis 15, 6. And Jacob was not a saved man here in Genesis 28, 22. He wasn't saved to chapter 32 of Genesis. But here we find, here in verse number 22 of chapter 28, "And this stone, Jacob said, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Now, he gave tithes of all. Abraham did. Here he said, "I'll surely give a tenth unto thee." So, a tithe is the tenth part of the first fruit of the increase. Proverbs says this in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." In other words, it's only the first fruit of the increase. In other words, if you buy a vehicle for $1,000 and sell it for $1,100, you don't pay on $1,100 a tenth of $1,100. That'd be more than you've actually made profit. If you were tithing, you'd already paid on the money you used to buy the car with, and therefore you only pay a tithe on $100, the increase, and therefore you'd only be $10. If you go to work and you make $4 or $10 an hour, you've got $400. Well, time Uncle Sam gets through with you, you might get home with $350, $320. But then you say, "Well, I'll tithe on the $320. No, you're supposed to tithe on the $400 because that's the first fruits. In other words, you don't want Uncle Sam getting the first fruits. You want to give God the first fruits of the increase, and that is your increase. Now, if you had to use some things to make that money, I'm not talking about just the gas to go, but if you had to buy some special clothing to do your welding job, for instance, you can deduct that from that, and still that would be your increase, would be the extra in that. And of course, then if you pay off the top and pay your tithe like you should, then you will come income tax time. If you get back just the tithe, if you get back what you paid in, that's already been tithed on. You wouldn't owe on that. Now, if you get earned income credit or something that government's giving you, that's an increase, and you owe tithe on that as well. Well, that's what a tithe is, but a tithe is a debt we owe to God, and honest Christians pay their debts. Now, but you say, "But now, preacher, that was under law about tithing, and we're under grace." It's true, we are under grace, but yet tithing was before the law. I read about Abraham in Genesis 14:20, how he started tithing by faith, and yet he wasn't even a saved man. I see we read you in Genesis 28:22, how Jacob continued tithing by faith, and he wasn't even a saved man at that time. That was before the law came into existence. Now, we know tithing was during the law. In fact, Moses incorporated tithing into the law in Leviticus chapter number 27, verse number 30. Here's what he said here in Genesis chapter 27, Leviticus 27, verse number 30. And he said, "All the tithe of the corn, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord." It's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. God gave you all of it, and you ought to be thankful enough to pay your debt. It's something you owe to God. A tithe is considered that. And there it was. Moses cooperated into the law. Tithing was before the law. Tithing was incorporated into the law. Now, when the children of Israel went into captivity, they got in trouble. Of course, they lapsed on a lot of things that they were supposed to do. But Nehemiah came back, and in Nehemiah chapter number 13, verse 11 and 12, and after he'd rebuilt the wall and had to go back to his king over in the Medes and Persian Empire, the people had let Tobiah come right into the court right into the temple there. The enemy of God come right into the temple, and the people wasn't doing what they should, and the Levites couldn't minister, and they had to go back to the fields to work, if you please, to get to do what they had to do. And then the Bible says in verse number 11 and 12 in Nehemiah 13, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken?" In other words, the house of God was forsaken because people had failed to pay their tithe. Therefore, the Levites, the priests, couldn't minister because they didn't have nothing to live on. God ordained it to be that way. And so he said, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" Verse 11. "And I gathered them together and set them in their place, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasury." So Nehemiah restored tithing after the captivity. Still under law, that's true. But Malachi commanded tithing. Here in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, verse number 10, he said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." In other words, he commanded tithing. So tithing was before the law. Tithing was after the law. But what about the day of grace? What did Jesus say in the book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, as he was really condemning the scribes and the Pharisees who had no life in them? They wasn't saved. Their righteousness did not match up. And he said in verse number 23 of Matthew 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So Jesus said to them, you need to have tithe. That's true. You did right in that. But you left off the judgment, mercy, and faith. You're not saved. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. And yet Jesus commended their tithing doing that. Now, tithing will not save you. And that's not what he's teaching. But he commended them for paying their tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, which are just like herbs. They'd go out into the garden and pick the herbs, and they were very stickler in the fact that they would get one for the Lord and then bring it to the house of God. And then nine they'd keep for themselves. Little old bitty sprinkles of herbs, or think about the broccoli, the beans, or whatever you might pick out of a garden. He said, you ought to do that. Now, Jesus said you ought to do it. It's a pretty good indication you need to do that. Amen? You need to do that. Now, I believe the reason, somebody said, there's not much said about tithing in the New Testament, and that's true. But one time's enough if the Lord said it, and He said it there and commended it. You ought to do it, in other words. But I believe the reason He didn't say so much about tithing in the New Testament, but if under the law people were required to pay their debt of 10% of the increase, and they were, then we who are under grace, how much more should we give? 10% ought to be only a starting place, because it's tithes and offerings, in other words, that we need to bring. And in fact, the business, we're responsible for 100% of what God gives us. We're to be good stewards of all that God brings our way. And yet, He only asks for a tenth in the sense. And yet, if we've got the experience the grace of God, it'll cause us to want to give more than a tenth. And that's why we have missionaries out there and people, the churches being able to propagate the gospel. This radio broadcast, for instance, and our printing material and our tape ministry and our CDs that we have, and gladly send them to you without any charge. Why? Because God furnishes that through those of New Hope Baptist Church to be able to do that by paying their tithe and giving an offering. They give beyond, above and beyond that offering. Why, under grace, we ought to do it even much more. Now, where are we to pay our tithe? I know sometimes you'll hear people on the radio say, send your tithes to us. Folks, don't you send your tithe to me. You're supposed to send your tithe, not send your tithe. You're supposed to carry your tithes into the storehouse. And the storehouse under in the day of grace is the local New Testament church. And what did he say in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10? He said this in Malachi 3:10. He said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the local New Testament church in this day of grace. And he said that there may be meat in mine house. In other words, that we may be able to propagate the gospel and get the gospel to the regions beyond. But he didn't say send it. He said bring it. That means your presence is to be there along with your tithe, is what it amounts to. So if you tithe into some radio preacher, you're not right in doing that. You're wrong with God in doing that. And so you need to tithe into the local church, the storehouse, if you please. Now, what's the result of failing to pay our tithes? Well, we become cursed. For Malachi 3:8-9, he said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he answers it, in tithes and offerings. See there, he even put the offerings in the Old Testament time. And he said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And what it amounts to is, the word for rob there is the word for embezzle. Embezzle. Now, if somebody goes down to the bank and robs the bank with a gun, they call him a bank robber. If somebody who works behind the desk or behind in a teller's window, if they misappropriate the money and put it in their pocket, they call them an embezzler. And that's the correct term here. God gave you everything He gives you and says you need to appropriate it rightly. You need to place not only the 10%, but the 90% as well. If you don't, you've robbed God. And you're cursed with a curse. And God's going to get His tithe out of His children. He's going to do it one way or another. Heard a story, of course, and you know how things go, but said somebody's down at the hospital. Said, well, what's he down there for? Well, he's down there getting his tithe taken out, somebody said. God's going to get His tithe, and you're going to become a curse. And the word curse means to call evil or injury down on you. Boy, but you say, I'm saved. The curse is gone. Listen, there'll still be some consequences of you not doing what God said. If you're robbing God, you're a God robber. And no God robber is going to enter into heaven. In fact, the business, you cannot sin in a habitual lifestyle, any sin. If a man doesn't pay his tithes over a period of time and God doesn't chasten you and carry you home early, then you're not one of His. And you're not going to enter in because He said no thief is going to enter in. Now, there's promises we can claim if we pay our tithes. Malachi 3:10-11, he said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me, just test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, I'll bless your harvest when if you'll just pay your tithe, do what you're supposed to. And Proverbs 3:10, he says, a soul shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. You see, it pays to do what God said. And God said, hey, He said, pay your tithes and give an offering unto the Lord that He might get glory. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.